I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of Cinematic Universe. I'm your host, Joe Cunningham, and joining me are...
Seb Patrick.
And James Hunt.
Okay, we're going to get straight down to business today. There is some very big news in the superhero movie world. Spider-Man is going to be appearing in a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, which everyone seems to believe is going to be Captain America Civil War. Sony will then release a solo Spider-Man movie in July 2017. That'll be co-produced by Kevin Feige, so it's going to be made, distributed, financed by Sony. They're going to keep all the money from it, but Kevin Feige is going to try and make sure that it is in continuity with the Spider-Man that they establish in the Marvel Cinematic Universe films. Marvel and Sony will then continue to try and integrate characters from the MCU into future Spider-Man films. A couple of the other MCU movies have had their dates fiddled around with as well. And that's it, basically. And the key addition, as we were just discussing off mic, is that in Sony's press release, they specifically referenced that it would be Peter Parker. Although, we're still not convinced, are we? We think...
Well, James,
I'm convinced.
I would like to think that there is a possibility that it could be Miles Morales from Ultimate Spider-Man. Because nothing against Peter Parker, he is my favourite comics character, but it would be nice to see them go down the Miles Morales route. However, that is me being a bit idealistic, and I accept that realistically, there's very little chance that it will be Miles.
Yeah, just from a point of view of Spider-Man being in the MCU, it would be nice to think that, and just for audiences' sake, that they've seen 5 movies with Peter Parker, that they're going to be treated to a third new Spider-Man in 15 years.
And why can't it be Ben Reilly? I know what you mean.
That means nothing to me. Who's Ben Reilly?
Do we want to go into that now?
Let's not.
If we ever do a
that.
Clone Saga podcast, yeah.
There is the reaction to this seem to be overwhelmingly positive. That there was the hashtag around, you know, Spider-Man's come home, and that Spider-Man being back in the Marvel Universe was definitely a good thing. But I mean, there are 2 ways this could go, aren't there? And a whole range of options in between. But this could either be fantastic for both Sony and Marvel, that Marvel introduce a new Spider-Man who everyone loves, Sony then produce a solo Spider-Man film that is great and fits into the Marvel continuity, and the 2 companies keep working with each other for years to come, and everyone loves Spider-Man and he's part of the MCU. Or that might not happen. James, which way do you see it going?
I am optimistic. Mainly because I think Kevin Feige hasn't really done anything wrong with Marvel Studios yet, and I think it would basically be career suicide for him to make this deal and then manage to screw up Spider-Man.
But do you not think at this stage it's more a case of undermining the MCU rather than messing up Spider-Man? Because Spider-Man's been messed up for the past, well, for the last 2 movies, as far as we're concerned anyway. There are fans of the Amazing Spider-Man movies. They're crazy, but there are fans. So I'm not so worried. Like, a third unsuccessful Spider-Man, I think, would just... It would be kind of tragic for that character on the screen, but I'm more concerned that this partnership kind of undermines the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
The thing
Does
is...
Does it, though? I mean, in what way?
Well, it could, if things go wrong.
Like, Spider-Man's the prototypical Marvel hero, so it's like, in a way, as a comics reader, you sort of can't have the Marvel Universe without Spider-Man. Like, as far as I'm concerned, this was a sort of inevitability, and the sooner it happens, the better for everyone.
And also, I mean, you know, so far, Marvel, and I know that Marvel Studios aren't going to have complete control over this, but Marvel Studios have been so adept at correctly handling characters that aren't Spider-Man. Basically characters that aren't as good as Spider-Man, because Spider-Man is the best. So, you know, I find it hard to believe that they would drop the ball, even with a 10-minute cameo appearance in one movie. If that was the sole extent of Spider-Man's crossover with the MCU, I would be shocked if it wasn't better than the entirety of the ASM series put together.
Well, shall I throw my concerns at you then? Which, I mean, and this is kind of a worst-case scenario, is that, I mean, fine, if we have confidence in Kevin Feige and Marvel Studios, that's great, and they put a new Spider-Man that we like into Civil War, and that's all well and good, and we're happy with that. But then Sony go and make another terrible Spider-Man movie and don't listen to Kevin Feige and mess up the continuity a bit. And then you've got this Spider-Man universe, which is... in effect, part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is then spinning off its own movies, you know, sequels to that, spin-offs to that solo Spider-Man movie that are bad. And maybe the worst is they teased Spider-Man's involvement in the MCU for 10 minutes at the end of Civil War. But maybe that character keeps popping up and
it reminds you that he's in these bad movies.
and reminds you that these badly realised characters are now... in effect, part of this, what was a previously very clean, very contained Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay, the thing is, if this happens, they'll still have control over Spider-Man in the Marvel Studios films. So, you know, I think it will be possible to make that mental disconnect between, you know, solo Spider-Man films where he's rubbish and Marvel Studios films where I have complete faith he'll be good.
Yes.
The other thing I would say is that we've already had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and, okay, I know that it's got better, and I know that some of you watch it and like it, but that first half season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. still exists, but it does not harm... Like, I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I can just happily pretend it doesn't exist, even though it will constantly make reference to the movies, and I know that that's what Coulson is off doing when he's not in the movies, but... the existence of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., to me, does not dampen the quality of the MCU.
Well, even further, the existence of Incredible Hulk doesn't, you know...
Yeah, or yeah, Iron Man 2.
...afflict the Marvel Universe that badly, even though it was a pretty rubbish film, all things considered.
I mean, I kind of look at this from the perspective, maybe, of a comics reader, and... you know, several characters in comics have multiple comics being published about them at any one time. You can happily be reading Superman and it can be great, while Action Comics is terrible. It doesn't mean that your enjoyment of Superman is lessened by the fact that he's also appearing in a book by the same publisher in the same continuity that happens to be awful.
I think probably as comics readers, we're sort of already prepared for this kind of dissonance where you ignore the versions you don't like and stick with the ones you do.
Yeah. I guess then that the worst case scenario in terms of disappointing fans then would be that Spider-Man is introduced in Civil War, Sony make their own Spider-Man movie, but the relationship between the two studios sours, and beyond that, Spider-Man doesn't appear in the MCU again, which would be the biggest kind of tease, and you know, that would be pretty bad, wouldn't it? For
fans. As far as I'm concerned, that's the worst case scenario, that this is a one-time deal and it all goes sour immediately.
I mean, I have to say, I would be stunned if Spider-Man is also not in Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
That would be very surprising to me.
Yeah.
Who do we think is the real winner here? Is it Sony or is it Marvel?
Sony.
Who is benefiting most?
It is 100% Sony.
You know, I mean, right, before this was announced, right, if you said to me that this was going to be announced, I think I even said on a previous podcast that I think that Sony needed Marvel Studios more than Marvel Studios needed Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But the way that this news has gone down and the reaction to it, I have not seen a reaction to a single piece of comic, an individual piece of comic movie news like this. I mean, this is even bigger than the announcement that Batman was going to be in the next Superman film and that he was going to be played by Ben Affleck. That is the biggest, most recent announcement. I think this eclipses that, just in terms of the amount that people are talking about it and the excitement that it's generated. And what that serves as a reminder of is that Spider-Man is the most bankable character in comics, more than Superman and even more than Batman, I think. It kind of shows how badly Sony have dropped the ball, in that those movies haven't made as much as they should have done, when really Spider-Man should be a license to print money. But I think it really gives Marvel a shot in the arm, and I don't think it necessarily needed a shot in the arm, but it's like, you know, they were already on a bit of an up, and this just nudges them even further. This just, I mean, everyone was already kind of looking forward to Civil War because it's a Captain America and an Iron Man movie, yeah. But if Spider-Man's going to be in it as well, this just blows everybody's minds.
Can you imagine that poster already with Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr. dragging the probably masked Spider-Man character in the middle? I mean, to even think back to, you know, less than a year ago, where Batman versus Superman thought it was going to open on the same date as Civil War and see who would blink first. And now you've got the two current highest grossing superheroes with Spider-Man thrown into the mix.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is, like, even so, though, it is primarily to Sony's benefit, because they have proven that they can't manage the franchise in a way that is, like, even profitable to them. Mm. Like, they've lost revenue on every sort of Spider-Man film since the first. Like, that, even accounting for inflation and 3D premiums, they are losing money on, you know, essentially the simplest superhero character.
If they had put out Amazing Spider-Man 3 or Sinister Six or whatever was to follow next, it would not have done any better than Amazing Spider-Man 2, might have done worse. Now, just purely based on the fact that it has a link to the MCU, that film, when they put it out, even if it has exactly the same script that it was going to have before, will still do better than Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, I would predict that it will make the most money of any Spider-Man film so far.
Yeah.
And let's talk about Sony's plans pre this announcement. So they had moved back Amazing Spider-Man 3, and the next Spider-Man movie was going to be Sinister Six, which Drew Goddard had left showrunning Marvel's Daredevil TV show to go and direct. So he was the writer-director on that one. Now, I've heard whispers that Drew Goddard is probably still involved with whatever plans Sony has for Spider-Man, and if we're seeing Spider-Man introduced in Civil War and then potentially a solo Spider-Man scripted by Drew Goddard or maybe even directed by him, then that's the most positive I'm going to be about a Sony Spider-Man movie forever.
You know, if people are unfamiliar with Drew Goddard's career, he started writing for Buffy and Angel, wrote for Alias and Lost.
Wrote the single best episode of Lost.
Wrote Cloverfield, and then wrote and directed Cabin in the Woods. Like, that, as hit rates go, that's a pretty good CV to have.
And the fact that Drew Goddard has strong links with, obviously, Joss Whedon, you talked about Buffy and Angel there, and that he was on board a Marvel TV show, Marvel were willing to give him the keys to Daredevil, suggests that the relationship between Drew Goddard and Marvel is strong. So if Kevin Feige is producing, alongside Amy Pascal and all the Sony bods, a solo Spidey movie, and Drew Goddard is the creative guy in the middle of that, then you would have to imagine Kevin Feige's voice probably will be heard. I mean, I'll be honest, when this news was first announced, Drew Goddard was the person I was thinking, oh man, he left Daredevil script Sinister Six. But, I mean, Sony obviously had some real faith in Sinister Six, in that despite
the
problems...
They might be the only ones who do.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Drew Goddard wrote that script. We like Drew Goddard. That idea sounds crazy, but how about they get Drew Goddard to rework that script and have a Spider-Man movie which opens up with a Spider-Man we know, because no one wants to see the origin story again. If I see Peter Parker being bitten by a spider in that next Spider-Man movie, I'm going to flip the fuck out. We need an established Spider-Man who has been doing his business in New York probably since the Battle of New York went down in the MCU. You say, you know, and Spider-Man is established, he has villains, and yeah, he fights a version of the Sinister Six. As audiences, we know half of those villains already. Even if it's new actors in the roles, which it should be, you just roll out a Green Goblin and you roll out a Dr. Octopus, and we kind of know who they are.
Everything you've said there would be fine if it was still a Spider-Man movie in which he fights the Sinister Six. But that's not what the Sinister Six movie is supposed to be.
But now and it is a Spider-Man movie. That's what we know, that we are getting a solo Spider-Man movie.
Well, if if it's a movie where he is the central focus point, then I'm fine with throwing in Dr. Octopus and the Green Goblin and everybody all in one go. Could be fun, could be an absolute mess, but, you know.
I was never convinced by Sinister Six because they never sort of explained how they expected it to work to have six supervillains and not the main superhero for them to fight. They never really convinced me that they had a plan to make it work.
So some of the other rumours that we've heard, because Spider-Man is going to have to be cast fairly soon to have him present and correct in time for Civil War. We're hearing that, we said that Sony had mentioned the name Peter Parker on their press release. And we're also hearing that this will be a younger high school age Spider-Man. And I hope that means that an actor who is believably in high school, as opposed to Andrew Garfield at the start of Amazing Spider-Man.
I was going to say, so someone who's about 28, 29 maybe.
But you would hope probably either someone late teens, early 20s for a new Spider-Man. So, A, are you happy about this Spider-Man being taken back to high school and being that age for at least a while? And then, would you be happy with Peter Parker? Would you prefer Miles Morales? I don't know anything about that character, so you'll have to explain Miles Morales to me. And then, after all that, if any dream casting?
Specifically, high school Spider-Man. I think, in a world where you've got superheroes like Iron Man and Captain America, Spider-Man's role is to be the sort of rookie, up-and-coming superhero who fights smaller-scale threats and stuff. If they're the elder statesmen, he should be the sort of younger, beginner kid version of the character, and I'm completely fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if it was just a standalone Spider-Man film without the other characters around, I would be a bit weary of going back again, because it's all that the movies... I know he'd got to college age by the end of both series, but... if it was just a new recasting of Spider-Man to just be in his own films on his own, I would want him to be a bit older. But yeah, what James says is a really good point for how he would fit in with Avengers.
There was a very good article I read on Badass Digest from Devin Faraci, who was listed five things that Marvel has to do with the new Spider-Man. One of the things he mentioned was cast young. But also he was talking about the kind of unique position that Spider-Man can occupy in the MCU, in that, as a younger guy, he's kind of dealing with lower level concentrated stuff in New York than the big glow popping Avengers are, but he's also kind of like a step above the TV characters. He's fighting a more important, bigger scale battle than Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage.
It's sort of worth pointing out that in the Ultimate Universe, the official position was always that Nick Fury was preparing him for a spot on the Ultimates, which is the ultimate version of the Avengers.
They could do worse than to bring that set.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So wholesale over. It fits exactly, really well. And the dynamic... towards the later part of Ultimate Spider-Man, before Ultimate Peter Parker got killed off, spoilers, sorry, there was the idea that he was finally starting his training, and the different attitudes that Captain America and Iron Man had towards him, there was some really fun stuff there. And there was a really nice underlying thing with Nick Fury being almost a kind of father figure to him
That is also the setup in the recent cartoon series as well.
Which is really good, what I've seen of it, actually.
and then going back to the article, it was saying how he'd make a perfect character to kind of bridge the various parts of Marvel that he can be in a Captain America movie. But it would also make sense for him to pop up on one of the Netflix shows, you know, or at least if Daredevil was to show up in the MCU briefly alongside Spider-Man would make
sense.
This
is sort of what I mean about how you can't have a Marvel universe without Spider-Man, because he's the closest you get to the everyman character. Like, he's in awe of bigger heroes and, you know, he's more troubled by the street level stuff. So, like, he's, you know, he's kind of in the mix at every tier.
I would go so far as to say that if the best possible thing that could result from Spider-Man being in the MCU would be Spider-Man and Daredevil being on screen together.
I'm on board with that after having read Guardian Devil. That was cool. See how I can bring my new comics knowledge. Okay, well, let's go to our blind spot I have. I know that Miles Morales is the ultimate Spider-Man, and that he got the gig because ultimate Peter Parker died. But I don't really know anything else about him. Like, what actually differentiates him as a character from Peter Parker, and why should Marvel even consider making him the next Spider-Man instead of Peter Parker?
So the thing with Miles, and this is part of the thing that makes Miles good, is actually the reason why bringing him in as a new rebooted Spider-Man wouldn't really work. So the thing with Miles is he gets bitten. He's a teenage kid. I think he's like around about 14 when his accident happens. Half black, half Hispanic kid in New York. His uncle is a cat burglar called the Prowler.
And he looks like Snoop Dogg.
who breaks into Oscorp to steal the experimental formula that is the very experimental formula that Oscorp were developing that the spider that bit Ultimate Peter was injected with. Oscorp have continued to experiment with it in the hopes of replicating what happened to Peter. This has also involved injecting it into other spiders. One of these spiders crawls into Miles' uncle's bag while he's breaking into Oscorp, and so when Miles' uncle comes to crash at their place because he's hiding out, the spider escapes and bites Miles, and he gets spider powers, but they're slightly different. Like, he can turn invisible, for example, and he's got a sort of like a venom blast sting thing as well.
Okay.
So initially he gets these powers, and Peter is still alive at this point, or because this gets told in flashback. He gets these powers, but he's kind of scared and doesn't really want to do anything with them until he is one of the kind of witnesses standing by when Peter gets killed fighting the Green Goblin, at which point he kind of has a crisis of conscience because he's like, well, I had these powers like him and I didn't do anything with them. So kind of partly spurred on by his best mate, he kind of puts on a homemade Spider-Man costume and starts to go around, and everyone thinks it's in terribly bad taste because everyone knows that Spider-Man's dead and that he was Peter Parker and stuff. Eventually he gets kind of taken under Shield's wing, and Nick Fury gives him a new costume and web shooters and stuff, and he becomes the new Spider-Man. So one of the things that he differs from Peter that's quite nice is that obviously Peter is driven by this with great power comes great responsibility thing. Miles kind of picks that up along the way. He kind of starts out, it's not that he's an unpleasant character or anything, he just doesn't have the thing of I have these powers and I must go out and use them.
I like
he
that.
Has to sort of feel his way into it. And yeah, one of the things that's really made his story work is the resonance of the fact that he is in a world where Peter Parker is dead and everyone knew what a great hero Peter Parker was.
So would it be difficult to do a Miles Morales Spider-Man fresh? Would it be difficult to do Miles Morales in a world where Peter Parker hasn't existed?
I think you could do it, because he's enough of his own character. At worst, all you need is some different figure for him to look up to. Like, he could conceivably... You could transplant the personality and origin story into a universe without Peter Parker. Like, obviously it works more if you've got one. It's easier, you know, it's an easier sell, but it's not impossible to do it without him.
From what you're saying, actually, I think it would make so much sense from both Marvel and Sony's point of view to do Peter Parker again, but with an eye to within 5 or 6 years replacing him with
Miles Morales, isn't it?
In continuity.
The fact that they're doing a new Spider-Man continuity means they can put Miles Morales into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, set him up as the replacement. Like, that's, you know, 3 movies there if you want.
That's what I want to happen.
Peter Parker getting his powers, using them, dying. Miles
not
Morales
getting his powers. Like, let's not do Peter Parker getting his powers, whatever happens. Let's just have Peter Parker show up and...
Maybe at the start of the film, we could be watching, like, an experiment at a science lab where a nerdy kid is next to some spiders. But then at the last minute, Spider-Man swings in and fights some muggers.
I like it. I like it a lot. Do you guys have any actors in mind particularly you'd like to see get this role?
If you were casting a 20-something Peter Parker, Grant Gustin is doing such a good Peter Parker over in Flash at the moment. I don't really have any thoughts for a high school age one because I don't know much about high school age actors at the moment.
Two of the names that have been very prominently tossed around are Dylan O'Brien, who was the lead in The Maze Runner last year, and then also Logan Lerman, who was Percy Jackson and is in Perks of Being a Wallflower, and who I actually really like, despite Percy Jackson. And he actually auditioned for the role last time. I know he and Josh Hutcherson from The Hunger Games came close. So they're both names that are in the mix. And I think Logan Lerman actually, age-wise, he's kind of like an early 20s, but looks younger. He might be quite a good shout. I've been really pushing on Twitter, I've been floating the name out a few times. If I were Kevin Feige and Amy Pascal, I would be looking at Nick Robinson right now. I don't know if either of you guys have seen The Kings of Summer.
The BBC
political editor. I was going to say, the BBC...
No, you're not the first person to mention that, and I said, we'll make him Vulture. no, so do either of you know Nick Robinson?
No.
Okay, so, well, he was in an indie film called Kings of Summer, and he's actually due to appear in Jurassic World this summer. And now just think about that, because Jurassic World already stars Star-Lord, it already stars Kingpin, it already stars that little kid from Iron Man 3. Imagine if you threw Spider-Man into the mix. Jurassic World would effectively be in the MCU. And if there's one thing the MCU is lacking, it's dinosaurs.
All I want is for them to choose a good, sort of fairly unknown actor of early 20s at the oldest. I honestly don't know enough about films to pick a, you know, rising star, but all I'll say is, you know, they've done two Peter Parkers who aren't much like the comic version, so I would hope if Marvel are involved, they'll remain truer to that version of the character than previous films have.
I do like the fact, by the way, that this is maybe the first time on this podcast where Joe, being the film guy, Joe has got to bring in knowledge that we don't know by name-checking all these actors that we've never heard of.
Just wait until we get into episodes where I've actually read the source material in advance. It could happen. I've read Superior Spider-Man. Why don't we do what if the Spider-Man that's introduced is actually Doc Ock in Peter Parker's body? We haven't considered that possibility, have we?
Absolutely fine with that.
That's the only Spider-Man comic I've read. I read all of Superior Spider-Man. Do you think about that?
That's an odd thing to pick as your like, this is the one Spider-Man thing I'm going to read.
It was, I was going on holiday last year and there was a deal on the Marvel Unlimited app. It was like 99p. So I got the app and everyone was raving about Superior Spider-Man. So I went, well, I'll read that then. So I read it. It's good.
It's good.
It is,
So the next question is, if Spider-Man is going to be thrown into Captain America Civil War... First of all, what is Spider-Man's role in Civil War in the comics? And then how would you imagine they will translate that from the comics to the movie?
Okay, in Civil War, Spider-Man is the guy who signs up with Iron Man's pro-registration side, which is essentially superheroes should divulge their identity to the government and get training for their powers so they don't cause accidents. But then Iron Man asks him to publicly... reveal his identity in support of that, which he does. Iron Man turns out to be maybe abusing his authorities. Peter Parker switches sides, and you know, that's the crux of it. He's the guy in the middle of the two sort of philosophies. Like, he represents what goes wrong with pro-registration, basically.
We don't know whether registration is that. We've had that conversation already on the podcast, whether registration will be the key. But you'd have to imagine Civil War is going to pit Iron Man and Captain America against each other over some kind of issue like that, and that Spider-Man will be in the middle. Would you imagine, given that this is Spider-Man's introduction and that they're getting around to it so late in the game, that he might fill a similar role but on a much smaller scale? Is that fair to say?
I think the problem with having Spider-Man in Civil War is that his big moment is that he removes his mask. On TV.
And he says, I've been Spider-Man since I was 15. So the point is, he's been Spider-Man for years and years and years, and no one's known who he is, and now he's revealing who he is.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, in the comics, they reverse that a couple of years later through sort of magical meme, but you can't do that in the movies.
Yeah,
so I don't think, without that big beat, there's no reason for him to switch sides from supporting Iron Man to Captain America. So I think, if anything, he will show up on Captain America's side, and if they are doing registration... he will simply be saying, I can't take my mask off because it will endanger my family.
The campaign for Donald Glover, I just mentioned that quickly. Donald Glover, there was a fan campaign last time and there is again. You couldn't have... Could you have a black Peter Parker?
You could,
in
theory,
with it.
Yeah, but, and like, yeah. There's no reason he couldn't be black. But I would say if you're going to do that, just do Miles Morales, because it's better to use an established black character than it is to race swap a white one.
In terms of the reaction that you would get from the unpleasant quarters of...
No, I mean, I don't even care about that. I just sort of care about having black characters who are, you know, who get realised as opposed
yeah,
to...
Yeah, actually represent the characters that actually exist.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because also, even if you did Miles Morales, there's nothing to say that he has to be a 14, 15-year-old kid, and there's nothing to say that you have to have the element of he's following in Peter Parker's footsteps. He does have a personality in the comics, and it is a personality that is distinct from Peter's. Obviously, it's not as developed because he hasn't been around as long and he is still a kid, but if you said to me that Donald Glover was going to play Spider-Man and the character's name was going to be Miles Morales, I would be completely on board with that.
I honestly think, sadly, that Donald Glover's time was 4 years ago. I think he probably is. If they want a high school Spider-Man now,
if you want high school age, he's too old, definitely. Yeah. But if you're casting a 20-something Spider-Man, he'd be up there in terms of possible choices, I reckon.
I mean, the main difference between the two are their supporting cast, really. Like, the big thing with Miles Morales is that it would be difficult to use, like, Mary Jane and Aunt May, for example.
I think what we've settled on together as Cinematic Universe is that we want a Peter Parker movie, but where there is a Miles Morales in that universe, and that maybe after some point after Infinity War, Peter Parker dies and Miles Morales takes over.
Yeah,
I want a series of, say, 5 really amazing Spider-Man movies.
5?
Yeah, right. Three of which are about Peter Parker, at the end of which he maybe doesn't die, but maybe is believed to be dead.
Nah, kill him.
And then
kill him.
Two of which are about Miles Morales, and in which Gwen Stacy doesn't get killed off. That's my want list for Spider-Man. And Mysterio.
I'm not accepting any more fake-out deaths in the MCU.
No, right. What you do is you do a fake-out death, but you have Peter Parker come back and team up with Miles Morales at the end. That's what you do. You do Spider-Man for the fifth film.
The thing I would say, like, Joe, if you're upset by fake-out deaths,
yeah,
you're going to find it very difficult to read comics.
But yeah, I think for the next 12 months, we're probably going to be talking about Spider-Man fairly regularly through the news.
No change there, then.
It's a good job everyone loves Spider-Man. And that's what I was saying before about this news. Like, everyone loves Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And this news has just energised everyone talking about, apart from the people who've gone, oh God, more comic book movies. Apart from those people, everyone who likes this kind of thing has just gone, oh, fantastic, we might get a good Spider-Man again.
I mean, it's the most negativity I've seen is from people who really like Andrew Garfield. But...
Hey, Andrew Garfield can still play him when he's in the costume. I've got no problem with that. They just need a different Peter Parker.
Okay, so final thoughts, guys. What arc or what storyline do you think that Sony and Marvel are likely to adapt in the new Spidey movies?
I mean, probably the obvious big, well-regarded Spider-Man story that hasn't been touched by the films is Kraven's Last Hunt. I think Kraven's maybe an underwhelming villain to bring in as your first big villain, but it's a good story, and I could see them. If they don't want to do Goblin or Dr. Octopus, then... they'd probably go with that.
But if they did Superior Spider-Man, I would have read it already. So you've got to take that into consideration.
Yeah, but they won't have introduced Dr. Octopus yet.
It's fine.
And there's
no point
doing Superior without having Doc Octopus.
Just invite Alfred Molina back.
I would be absolutely fine with them bringing back Molina or bringing back another really good actor to play Doc Ock. Doc Ock is the best Spider-Man villain. He's the best villain in comics, full stop, apart from maybe Lex Luthor. But that's another story. So, yeah, Octopus would be great, but I could see them doing Kraven. If they want to actually do a story... which they don't tend to do with the Spider-Man films. That's me nicking James's point now.
Yeah. What were you thinking, James?
I agree with Seb that Kraven's Last Hunt is probably the most likely one.
I'm just happy as long as it's not an origin story. You just mentioned a throwaway line at the start of the movie. Hey, I've been doing this since I got bit by a radioactive spider, and now I have these powers. And we all know what the powers are.
And frankly, you could have him turn to the camera and say, look, I'm Spider-Man, you all know the deal.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
He could do what Lazenby does at the start of On Her Majesty's Secret Service. This never happened to the other guy.
I would like him to sort of go into a long-winded explanation and then get cut off. with like Tony Stark saying, "Oh, we don't need to hear it," or something.
Okay, well, I think that brings our Spider-Man special to a close. I won't go through all the usual end of podcast spiel because you've probably heard that on the minisode, and you'll hear it again on our Iron Man episode, which is coming into your podcast app of choice next Wednesday. So we'll be back with our Iron Man episode in less than a week. Excellent. Right, we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
So long, web slingers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.